So first of all, Mo'adim L'Simcha, Happy Pesach. And what a Pesach do we have, right?
Exactly.
I think the question, Manishtana, what is different, was never felt so vividly as it is this year. But I believe that will lead us to the discussion of the 7th of Pesach, Shvi'i Shel Pesach, that sometimes constraints and limitations are the birthplace of a lot of creativity, a lot of religious and cultural and social creativity, and a lot of growth. So we didn't ask for the corona, but here it is. I hope that in the midst of all the suffering, also good things will emerge from it. And I can see that there's so much creativity going on online with a lot of things going, you know, the classes and sessions and prayers and services given on Zoom or, you know, on Facebook and all these digital platforms. So this is, I think we're facing an interesting phase in that sense. But let's talk about the 7th of Pesach that we are approaching. This Tuesday is going to be the evening of Shvi'i Shel Pesach, the 7th of Pesach. And I think, Naomi, that this festival presents us with a very intriguing riddle. Because on the one hand, this is one of our most ancient Chagim. This is a Chag that we already learn about in the Torah, in the five books of Moses. In fact, we learn about this day even before the Exodus. We read in Exodus 12, verse 15, and the first day, in the first day there shall be to you a holy convocation. This is the first Chag, the first festival, the first day of the of Passover, where we celebrated the Seder. And the seventh day, a holy convocation, no matter of work shall be done on them, save that what every man should eat, that only may be done by you. Yeah. So this is a special festival, and it has all the requirement of no work, and this is a holy convocation, etc. And we read about this day every time the Torah specifies to us the different chagim, the different festival calendars. And but it doesn't say what it is. It doesn't say what the seventh day of Pesach, what is the meaning of this day, what happened on this day, why should we celebrate it as a festival. It doesn't say anything about it. We know that according to the Jewish tradition, this is the day where the Israelites crossed Yam Suf, crossed the Sea of Reed, and experienced this miraculous a miracle of a miraculous deed, the miraculous hand of God leading us through the sea and saving us from the hands of the Egyptians. So on one hand, the crossing of the Red Sea, this is what symbolizes the birth of the people of Israel. Yeah, we left Egypt as a bunch of slaves. And then we pass through this, I can call it birth canal, and we are born as a people on the other side of the Sea of Reed. By the way, it's not me, it's not my image. This image was portrayed for the first time, at least as I know, by the Sfat Emet, the second Gur rabbi, and the Hasidic tradition, saying that the crossing of the Sea of Reed was really a birth, a very tight and narrow place, a little bit like the place we are right now. And out of this narrow place, they were born, as it were, into the wilderness. And after 40 years, they were arrived to the land of Israel. So this is a very important day, I would say, both in terms of how the Torah see it, and also how the tradition saw it. But, and here's the riddle, there's hardly any unique specification of this day. There's no special way we celebrate the 7th of Pesach, yeah? So if you go to the shul, or now we don't go to the shul, maybe we go on Zoom to online services, yes, we do read the Hallel. Yes, we have Torah reading for this day, and there's a Musaf, additional service for Yom Tov. But it doesn't really have a color of its own. Even the Hallel that we read on this day, and this is the only festival that we read just the shorter version of the Hallel, of these six psalms that we read on the festival. So there are some Kabbalistic traditions about Tikkun Leili, a nocturnal vigil that are done on that night. There are some Hasidic tradition about special meal that you have. The Chabad, for example, have the Seudat Mashiach, the Messiah meal. But there's nothing really more general about it. In a way, I feel that the Jewish tradition kind of neglected the 7th of Pesach, maybe because people are so tired with all the preparation for the Seder night. And if we zoom out for a minute from the 7th of Pesach to see the entire festival of Pesach, we can see that this is one of the festivals that we have so much. I think this is the festival that we have the most significant amount of preparations we have for Passover. Yeah, the cleanings and the cookings and the kosher of the kitchen and the house and all the family politics and special halachot and special laws for Pesach. Some people start cleaning already after Purim, so it's like a whole month of preparation. And then we have, and everything kind of drains into the Seder night. And you know that in the state of Israel, more than 90% of the Israeli Jews celebrate the Seder night this way or another. So this is really the JPPI, the Jewish People Policy
Institute. Yeah.
So they say that 97% of the Israeli Jews celebrate the Passover. So this is really an unprecedented number when you think about the yearly festivals. But then what? Right? What happens the morning after? So yes, this is the Passover is a festival, but unlike other festivals, it doesn't kind of culminate into something else. So if you compare it to Sukkot, for example, you have the seventh day of Sukkot, and then on the eighth day of Sukkot, you have Shmini Atzeret or Simchat Torah, the celebration of the Torah. We start reading the Torah all over again, and this is a very festive moment. And we have a special prayer for the rain on Shmini Atzeret and Sukkot. There's nothing similar, actually, in Pesach. And also, if you think about even the Hanukkah, which is not a celebration from the Bible, we follow the lead of Hillel, and we light the menorah, the Hanukkiah. Every night we add another candle, and the last night is a full Hanukkiah, a lot of lights. So it sort of culminates toward the end. This is not the story with Pesach. In a way, Pesach sort of fades out after the Seder, and I think this is one of the duties or jobs that we have in our generation, to ascribe new meaning or new characteristics for the 7th of Pesach, especially given the fact that according to the tradition, to Chazal, to the rabbinic tradition, this is the day where the Israelites crossed the Sea of Reeds and sang the song on the sea.
Well, that is certainly, it's a powerful, there's the liturgy that goes with the Song in the Sea, as well as much of the art that has been inspired by it, as well as the idea as of stepping forth into the sea, with the pressing army coming up behind the Israelites at this time. Maybe there's also a lot of possibility for introspection there as well.
That's right. I think you can adopt or embrace the idea of crossing of the sea and overcoming a very threatening obstacle. Right from behind, you have the Egyptian army, and from right before you, you have the sea. And here, the Israelites sort of overcame and something that seemed to be an obstacle that seems to be unsolvable in a way. Yeah. So I think this is a moment of great faith and great belief believe in God and also believe in us, that we can do something like this. We allow ourselves to step into the sea and believe that it will become crossable for us, and that the sea will open for us. So this is a very threatening and very intimidating moment, but it also holds a great hope within it. And I think today, more than in other years, this is something that we can really identify with, you know, allowing ourselves to sort of give up control over things we know and our routine and the things that we hold as our own, and allowing ourselves to step into a moment that is very fearful, but hoping that something in it will allow us to transcend this scary moment into something that will be beneficial and good for the society we live in.
Well, that's certainly a good message for any time, but especially for these times.
I do believe so. You know, as I said at the beginning, I don't really like some of my colleagues call the corona a special present we got. I don't embrace this kind of notions because I don't think we wanted it. It's not something we desired. A lot of people suffering, a lot of people losing their loved ones. You know, Jewish communities around the world, and not only Jewish, many communities around the world are suffering. So it's not something we wanted. But now that it's here, I think we can benefit from it and see the tectonic changes that will happen as a result from the corona, and see how we can use them to make our society and our communities and our country and our world a better place. And in a way, this is crossing the sea of reed in a way.